Mark Twain Speaks. Kindly listen as Mark Twain performer Don McNeil brings the wit and wisdom of America's favorite humorist to life. Everyone is welcome, and cigar smoking is encouraged.
There's nothing wrong with being wrong. And when I'm wrong, I like to admit it, because I think people feel good about me when I do that, because it's so unlike the newspapers to admit when you're wrong. I'm about to do just that. I published an article in the Harper's Monthly not long ago, and in that article, I went along with what most people tend to believe. I believed it, which is the falsehood that the Jew does not do his part in soldiering. Well, in hindsight, I did some research and I found out I was 100% wrong. But in my defense, I only had the Encyclopedia Britannica and some things I'd heard from other people who did no research, and I barely repeated their lies. I was ignorant, like the rest of the Christian world, of the fact that the Jew had a record as a soldier. I have since seen the official statistics, and I find that the Jew furnished soldiers for the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, and the Mexican War. In the Civil War, he represented in the armies and navies of both the North and the South by 10% of his numerical strength, the same percentage that was furnished by the Christian population for the Army and Navy. This large fact means more than it seems to mean, for it means that the Jews' patriotism was not merely level with the Christians, but overpassed it. When the Christian volunteer arrived in camp, he got a welcome and applause. But as a rule, the Jew got a snub. His company was not desired, and he was made to feel it. That he nevertheless conquered his wounded pride and sacrificed both that and his blood for his flag raises the average and quality of his patriotism above the Christians. His record for capacity, for fidelity, and for gallant soldiership in the field is as good as anyone's. This is true of the Jewish private soldiers and the Jewish generals alike. Now, Major General O. Howard speaks to me of one of his Jewish staff officers as being of the bravest and the best. Of another, killed at Chancellorsville, as being a true friend and a brave officer. He highly praises two of his Jewish brigadier generals. Finally, he uses these strong words. General Howard, intrinsically, there are no more patriotic men to be found in the country than those who claim to be of Hebrew descent and who served with me in parallel commands or more directly under my instructions. 14 Jewish Confederate and Union families contributed, between them, 51 soldiers to the war. Among these, a father and three sons, and from another family, a father and four sons. In the article, I was not able to endorse the common reproach that the Jew is willing to feed upon a country, but not to fight for it, because I did not know whether it was true or false. I supposed it to be true, but it is not allowable to endorse wandering maxims upon supposition, except when one is trying to make out a case. That slur upon the Jew cannot hold up its head in presence of the figures of our War Department. It has done its work, and done it long and faithfully, and with high approval. It ought to be pensioned off now and retired from active service. The Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. It suggests a nebulous, dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of, but he is heard of, has always been heard of. He is as prominent on the planet as any other people, and his commercial importance is extravagantly out of proportion to the smallness of his bulk. His contributions to the world's list of great names in literature, science, art, music, finance, medicine, and abstruse learning are also a way out of proportion to the weakness of his numbers. He has made a marvelous fight in this world in all the ages, and he has done it with his hands tied behind his back. He could be in vain of himself and be excused for it. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, and the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out. And they sit in twilight now, or have vanished. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal, but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains.